Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Danielle Dorsey.
And Jose Dorsey.
And we are coming to you today with Theologically Speaking with...
We did that backwards.
Yes, we did that all backwards.
Let's start all over again. Welcome to another Theologically Speaking with Jose.
And Danielle.
Dorsey. And listen, on this show, one of the things that we like to do is discuss very deep theological points so that we might be able to examine them from a spiritual perspective so that somebody might be able to ultimately make a decision in their lives to help them progress in their spirituality. Listen, we always like to start the show just letting you know how much we appreciate you. We appreciate every opportunity that you give us to earn some of your time and attention on this platform. One of the things that we really enjoy is the opportunity to reach out to so many people in so many different ways, just sharing the gospel. And so with that being said, before we go any further, we just like to thank you as well as our executive producer, Brother James Brown. Thank you so much for all that you've done for us so far. And we do really appreciate this this worldwide platform. Before we go any further, we always try to just pause and come before the throne of grace. We dare not go about any serious undertaking without first seeking the throne of grace. So with that being said, let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this time, this day that you've given us. We bless your name, God, because you allowed us the opportunity to reach out to your people. Now, as we go forward in this endeavor, we ask that you illuminate our hearts and our minds, that you set us ablaze today, that as we discuss issues that are really close to your people, that we don't be just hearers, but we take in these principles and we apply them to have a practical application to our lives. Allow us to just feel your presence and allow us to also just feel your power. We trust you, we believe you, and we declare that it is so. In Jesus' name, amen.
And then today we're talking to you about Christ-centered families. This is part two, and the reason that we're giving it a part two is because there's so much information that we wanted to share that, to be honest, it could be a part two, three, four, and five, because we can't say enough about guiding your family in a Christ-centered way. And so on the last show, Jose ended talking about setting an example, and that's one of the things that you do in a Christ-centered family. The husband and wife sets an example for the children to let them know how to do things. And one of the examples that we wanted to give has to do with me. And it's not just something that our parents tell us. It's not something that they say, do as I do, or it's not something – In the instance, the example I'm thinking of, it's not something that I was told this is the submissive way to be. Growing up, I just saw how things were, and I latched on to it. So my entire life is built on submissive wives. Jose, when he first met me, I didn't even know that that's what that was. I didn't know that that's how I was, that I was being a submissive wife. But he looked at my family when he met all of them, and he said, your whole family is submissive wives, are submissive wives. And so that was one of the things I never paid attention to it. And to be honest, to this day, I still don't see the exact things that would say, That's submissive, but it's the whole personality that we portray in our lives. We're submissive women to our husbands, and we're not submissive to everyone. There's a key word that I said, we're submissive to our husbands. And so hopefully that I am aware of it, I hope that my daughter gets this, and I hope our daughters are able to see that this is the way that men are supposed to be treated, and that submissive wives is part of a Christ-centered family. And also, like, knowing that the husband is the head of the household, God is above that, and he is directing us to follow him as he follows the direction that God gave him.
You know, as a point of talk, I remember having a discussion at the church, because I really said that the church was like a hybrid. I said, in a physical aspect, the church is not a democracy, it's more of a dictatorship. And someone was offended because I said that. But it's also, on the spiritual side, it's a theocracy. A theocracy is ruled directly by God, and more so it's a dictatorship in the physical aspect. It's because God has entrusted, you know, certain vessels to go about carrying out his ministry in the church. And so I like what you said there, because I think one of the aspects of submission that people lose out on is thinking that there's no accountability. When in reality, just because the submission is to the husband, or the wife gives her submission to the husband, the reality is it doesn't just stop there. The buck doesn't stop there. He also has to be in accountability to God himself. So whenever things are out of order, understand that God is a God of order. He doesn't do anything that is out of order. So God is not the author of confusion. The opposite of confusion is order, so we know that God does things that are decent and in order. So there's always a order to things. There's always a level of accountability. So that man, you know, while the woman is biblically required to submit, he also has a higher submission too, and that is to God. And also understand that everybody within the chain still has to submit to God. God gives us our assignment, and that the wives are required to submit to their husbands, but in submitting to their husbands, they obey God. Children are required to honor their parents, and honor their parents, they obey God. And loving the wife and actually providing for his own family, a man stands also in accountability to God, and also when he does what he's supposed to do, he also obeys God.
And that's also protecting the house and providing for the house. That is obeying God as well. And while we're in this subject of Christ-centered families, we would like to tell you that a book that you should go and get, it's an awesome book. I went to Liberty University for my bachelor's and my master's, but this book I received during my bachelor's, which is in Christian counseling, and the book is called The Family, A Christian Perspective on the Contemporary Home. It's by Jack O. Boswick and Judith K. Boswick, husband and wife. And in this book, it deals with the head of the household, gender roles, and there is an entire chapter on the family life. And in this family life, they also talk about family spirituality and the Trinitarian model of family spirituality. And baby, if you want, I want you to go ahead. When we were reading over this before, there was a passage in there that you latched on to, and I want you to read that passage while you're getting it. I opened it up to the page, but while you're getting it, I want to tell you more about the book. The book talks about blended family. It talks about marriage, the beginning of the
What? Why are you laughing? This ain't the page. Go ahead, keep going. I'll try to find it.
Okay, so it talks about a blended family, and it also talks about like the marriage being a model for the Christ-centered family. And I know we we've beat up the whole conversation about submissive wife or righteous husband, the responsibilities of the husband. We constantly say these things because this is, it all connects to each other. And no matter how many shows we have, it has to lead back to having this family, I mean, this marriage, okay, having this marriage that, what's the word I'm looking for? That represents God in his fullest, the agape love, the you know, the Bible, the biblical love. And I think he found it, so I'm just going to let him say what he has to say.
I just want to finish out that point that you was making there, because ultimately when we have a relationship, we keep jumping on this husband and wife
mm-hmm.
piece and that, because really, if you think about it, everything began with first the man, and then here come the woman. So you got the husband and wife, and then after that, children came. If you think about the natural succession and where we're supposed to first give all of our honor, glory, and praise to God, then the man is the head of the household, and then also, you know, the wife is his helpmeet, and then here come the children, who is also are supposed to be honoring of their mother and father, of their parents, essentially. So it's a natural order to that thing. But also note that the very foundation of the family is the husband and wife. And so that's the reason why we keep piggybacking on that. But last time we tried to have our show, but unfortunately we had some technical difficulties, so our show wasn't recorded. But on the show, this is what I read. I'm just going to read an excerpt from out of this book. It's called The Family, A Christian Perspective on a Contemporary Home. My wife said it's by Jacko Boswick and Judith K. Boswick. And this is page 157, and this is what it says. And it really rings true about the Christ-centered family. I'm just going to read a part of this paragraph and a part of the other paragraph. Really simple. But it says, family spirituality is an evolving process that corresponds to the major developmental issues of living together as a family. The early stages of marriage establish the foundational spiritual practices, basically what I just said. With the arrival of children, family life re-centers around and immerses in teaching and modeling faith. So our family dynamics is totally, the total design is that we ultimately model faith. We model faith because when we have a relationship with God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It says, when children become teenager parents and children negotiate the meaning of an independent faith, meaning that for this reason shall a man leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife, because now the design, or if you will, the nomenclature of the family begins to evolve. No longer being under a household where there's someone over him, the man leaves in order to establish headship in a new home where he's expected to be a loving leader as well as lover of his wife and his family. It said, after grown children leave home, both of the children and parents redefine what it means to relate as adult to adult and honor one another's spiritual beliefs. Just, I want to skip down. It says, at each stage of family life, the potential for individual spiritual growth or stagnation is a reflection of the health of family spirituality and the nature of its corresponding relationality. Now, the next paragraph actually brings all of this home as it relates to a Christ-centered a family, and I'm just going to read that paragraph in its entirety. It's very short, but it really drills home how much Jesus is supposed to be the nucleus and what we are actually talking about during this entire segment. So it says, the relationship between Jesus and his Father serves as a model. Understand that during different times that Jesus was talking back and forth, it was supposed to show us a model of unity, a model of love, a model of connectivity, a model of family, even on a spiritual sense. Find my place. It said, Jesus proclaimed in John 17:22, the glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I and them and you and me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus is the cement that holds the very foundation of everything all together. You want to know why things are breaking out in your family? The very first thing that I would do as a life coach who is Christ-centered is begin to establish, where is Christ in your life? Is he the nucleus, or is he just a cytoplasm, if you will? Is he just an outer shell, or are you allowing his principles to be the true fulcrum of your life? Let me just finish this. It said God's desire for family life is for Christ to indwell each family member so that his or her unique spiritual gifts mutually serve and empower the other members. Christ, the cornerstone of faith, is the grounding force that permeates family relationships and the life of the family with sacred meaning.
And I want to piggyback something that was in that paragraph as well. It was talking about the different stages that a family goes through and how the family spirituality has to transition through those different stages.
Kind of transcend, yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, what it's saying is it's just the husband and wife, and then it's the husband, wife, and the children. In some cases, it's the husband brings children from a previous marriage and the wife brings children from a previous marriage. So then you have that blended getting molding together process after the marriage. And so depending on where the children are in their ages, you talk to them different as a baby. You talk to them different as a toddler, adolescent, teen, and then young adult. All of these different transitions in their lives, all these different stages in their lives, means you have to talk to them in a different way. But every way has to have guidance that is Christ-centered. And so when you're a child, you know, so the baby simply bless you, or him seeing you pray every time you know, before you eat, or praying at night, or praying all the time, or in church, getting him used to going to church. We have a two-year-old, and it's a process in church because depending on how the church is, he doesn't understand what's going on. He doesn't even want to relate to what's going on or sit still. And so this is part of us teaching him, you know, to sit still and be part of that, you know, the spirituality, and teaching him spirituality at a young age. And then it grows from there in different ways. But we always have to continue to think about how to connect the family and keep them Christ-centered, to bring everything back to the center, which is Christ.
That was pretty good.
I know, right? Something simple.
I couldn't have preached that better myself. But listen, this is where it's going to sound a little bit preachy, but one of the things that I've tried to advocate, and granted, nobody's perfect, so I can't say that, you know, I've perfectly demonstrated this. Nobody's perfect. But the reality is, in going through life, one of the things that we'll find is that as Christians, we can go and witness, and we can tell people to accept Christ and love him, and we can teach them all of these principles. But the biggest thing that we'll actually teach people, especially the next generation, is not through our words, but more or less through our actions. And so as we have a Christ-centeredness in our family, the reality is that's going to come a lot by what we do and not as we say. See, when I was coming up, Danny, I'm pretty sure it's the same way for you too. My parents and grandparents taught me, you know, do as I say, but not as I do.
Mm-hmm.
But now you got like Generation X, Generation Y, you got like all of these other generations, the millennials, and so, you know, they don't learn through that way. That's not that's archaic for them. That's old dinosaur mentality that's not working. And so one of the reasons why it's so hard for us to witness, matter of fact, I think a statistic when we went to Liberty was that it takes 6.5 times to minister or the gospel to someone before they actually accepts it, basically, before they convert, on average, statistically. But I believe that statistic is even more skewed nowadays because mm-hmm. as this generation is growing, it's not about what you say. It's about what you do. So we go to church and we raise hands and we say hallelujah, amen, and then we come home and we raise all kind of hell inside of the house. Then you got that next generation of children that say, see, that Jesus stuff don't work. It's fake. And ultimately, we end up in a situation where we speak Christ-centeredness, if you will, but we don't live it. So today we're trying to appeal to you to about a family, a Christ-centered family, because a Christ-centered family is what it's going to take to navigate the waves, if you will, of when the LGBTQ community is closing in on your straight son or daughter, and you've been trying to pray them off of them. You've been trying to pray that they would actually follow God's way and His word. Well, how about when your black son is walking down the street and he gets pulled over by some white prejudiced cops in a suburban neighborhood, and you hoping and praying that, you know, he at least come home to you at night? Well, a lot of that have to do with some of those foundational principles. Wait a minute. What do Christ got to do with the police? Well, if your child is taught that they honor their mother and father because that's what God says in His word, and we teach them that, then they have a deeper conviction to actually do it. Now, here it is. Mom and dad say if the police pull you over, comply, be respectful, and then, you know, maybe we don't have to deal with as much negative results coming out of the issue. And so I'm not saying that that will be the case in every single situation, but at least because of that Christ-centeredness, we have a fighting chance against negative principles in the world. Same thing, like, it's so many different examples. What about your child hanging out with the wrong person at the wrong place? Or what about even problems within your marriage? Every time something breaks down within the family, I can almost come back to you and show you where there was something that went wrong as far as Christ being the center or not being the center of that situation. People have divorce parties when they get divorced. I think it's disgusting. People, we need to stop doing that, because if anybody ever get divorced, that simply means that somebody didn't trust God. Somebody didn't do what God told them to do. My wife and I, we've both divorced and remarried. We're married. But the reality is, from those previous marriages, even I got to call ourselves out. At some point in those previous marriages, somebody didn't do what they were supposed to do. Somebody didn't honor those vows. Somebody didn't trust God enough to continue for. And we don't.
Somebody didn't even include God in the situation.
Come on, you preach it. Because if we had actually stood before God and we were really sincere about those vows that we said before each other and our spouses, then there's no way that we could make a mockery or try to make a mockery of God and His word.
Or would have even gotten in that marriage in the first place.
Or maybe we shouldn't have been in that marriage in the first place. And see, that's the reason why when we talk about Christ-centeredness, the very first place we start talking is the husband and wife as a family, always.
The first place we start talking is God.
Yeah, God. Then we deal with God.
You know what I'm saying? Bringing God into every decision. When we decide to choose each other, the first thing we should do is put God in the mix. It shouldn't be I want this or you want that. This is what we want. No, it's what would be right with God.
Right, right. So we start talking about like the next generation. I really don't have a lot of time to get into this, but we kind of hinted at how the next generation would kind of like piggyback on or take cues from what we do and not what we say. The reality is when you have a situation in the family where the wife is unsubmitting, when she's quarrelsome, when there's a lot of tension between the husband and wife.
Or if she says okay and then turn around behind your back and do exactly what you told her not to do.
So the thing is, like, what they do is you might think that because of your comfort level that you're rebelling against the process, but what we don't realize is we're passing down these negative principles or these anti-biblical, because we're going against God's word and against His principles, but we're passing that down to our children. So here it is, a little girl sees an unsubmitting, quarrelsome wife as her mother, think that that's acceptable in a marriage. And so her now ideal, even from a child, of marriage is not submitting, and that's not what the word of God says. So basically, because of our practices, we can pass down to the next generation. We can speak Christian. We can have crosses, and we can go to church.
We can look Christian.
We can look Christian. We can, quote, unquote, catch Holy Ghostesses.
Know the Bible in and out.
We can know some scriptures. and fall out and shuck and drive and drop and do all of that stuff like everybody else do, but go behind closed doors and raise all kind of hell and pass that down to our children.
And it gets watered down each time it passes through the generations until it's, you don't even know how to get it back to where it's supposed to be.
I got one better for you. In a generation of millennials, how many theologians do you see that actually, like, you know, come out, you know, desirous of the word or advocate Christian apologetics or actually stand and give a really firm, hardcore account? You're seeing it less and less because, you know, it's like that carbon copy, like what you were saying. You know, there's something missing more and more from generation to generation. And I'm afraid that we've become so passive and standing on our spiritual beliefs because we're Christ-centered as far as we speak, but not Christ-centered as far as how we live.
How we are.
And how we are, thank you. Because when that door is closed, that's how you really are. When nobody's looking, or when the church folk are not around, or when your neighbor's not around, and how you actually conduct yourself, how you feel, how you think, how you actually are, when you're not around, that's the true essence of who you really are. Let me just caveat this. I can't stand when people say, yeah, but God knows my heart. He know your heart, bro. Don't make me start clapping like I'm on the east side. He know your heart.
Wait,
he sure do.
Mm-hmm. He know that
heart. He
sure
do. He know your heart.
He know your heart. When we say he sure do, that's not a compliment. That's not a compliment at all.
He knows your heart, so he knows the adultery that you already planned in your heart before you even left home, being next to your husband and wife. He already knows the fact that you don't want to submit to your husband, or husband, you sick and fed up and you don't want to love your wife. He knows when the children are in their heart and already decided that they're going to rebel. They don't care what their parents do or say. He knows when Christ is not the center of your family. So he already knows. So when we walk around saying, he knows my heart. God's got my back. God doesn't back that. Yeah, he backs that with judgment, like his word says. You're never going to get away with anything. The Bible says God is not mocked. God is not mocked. Be not fooled. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So when you're reaping these seeds, when you are sowing these seeds of discourse in your marriage and in your family, seeds of disobedience toward God, what kind of harvest you think you're going to get? You might think you're living your blessed life or your best life right now because you think you're getting away with it, but it got to come back around. It has to.
Okay.
That was a hard pause.
Like, okay, do we just, you know what? So we want to bring some real topics to you all. We want to deal with whatever is on your heart, whatever you need help with, or it might be the hard topics that you think that don't nobody want to deal with, especially on a Christian show or a theological show or whichever synonym you want to give. But we want you to bring those topics to us. We want to cover those topics, no matter how raw they are, no matter how much you think it's a taboo, bring them to us. You can text me, 313-221-7601. You can text Jose, 313-221-7600. If you need us to talk to you, if you need us to call you, if you need to pray with us, if you need us to pray with you, if you need a listening ear, those are our phone numbers, 313-221-7601, mine, 313-221-7600, his. We want to walk this life with you. We want to help you no matter how hard you may think it is. We will have that helping hand to be there to push you and encourage you and support you.
Ultimately, we come to this place because it is our goal to help people through this platform get to a point where they can have a Christ-centered family. Listen, that's our time. We would like to just thank you for joining us once again at
Theologically
Speaking with Jose
and Daniel.
God bless you, and we love you guys.